And ladies and gentlemen in the crowd, thank you so much for joining us. You know, South Africa has this political higgy-haga. So a day can feel like a year, and some years can feel like a day, but definitely there is never a dull moment. And we are now in another election cycle, local government elections. And what does that really mean? For you, for me, for the people who are part of the machinery. And so joining us today, and I'm going to start on my far left. Yes, far left. And what I'm going to do, gentlemen, I'm going to give you 90 seconds. Can you handle 90 seconds? Politicians, we don't know. But this is the age of social media, so short and sharp so we can make you like trend. Yeah? So 90 seconds. And I think to introduce not just yourselves, but your party and what you believe you can do differently with the local government election and what your platform is. And I'm going to start on the far end. We've got from the Patriotic Alliance, currently the advisor to the MMC of Health and Social Development at Rand West Municipality, Mr. Cassidy Rangata Jacob. I'm going to start with you, sir, and then I will come this way. 90 seconds, and the clock starts now.
Thank you very much. Local government is absolutely crucial. It's bread and butter issues. The Patriotic Alliance has made extreme headway in winning several by-elections in the Western Cape and in Gauteng. And because people are choosing to go from the traditional alternatives to give newer parties a chance, and that's why we are doing so well. But we focus on bread and butter issues, getting the basics back to our municipalities. People don't want extraordinary things. They just want on a Thursday for refuse to be collected, for water to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for electricity to be uninterrupted. And that is what the Patriotic Alliance is saying, that let's bring back the basics to our communities.
Well done. Stop the clock. You did very well. So, gentlemen, you see how it's done, man? don't let the youngster beat us. I'm a 1K. And then moving on to African Transformation Movement, a fairly new party with a young leader in Cape Town, but also making the rounds into local elections. And joining us from the African Transformation Movement, Mr. Lubabalo Magwetu is the chairperson of the S79 committee responsible for governance in the city of Johannesburg, the beating heart of South Africa's economy. Mr. Magwetu, 90 seconds.
Thank you. You know, when we're talking of a local government election, that is where we are talking about service delivery issues. When people want to vote for local government, they are interested in them being served. You know, currently our people are experiencing service delivery failures, which is part of their daily lives. Repeated water cuts, where you have overflowing sewers, you have a lot of issues around corruption, non-service delivery. And as the ATM, we are here to serve the people because we want to prioritize them, because we understand that when they vote for us, when they are giving us a mandate, that we should serve them. And that is what we will be doing. Thank you.
Wonderful. We're doing very well. All the way from Ethekwini Municipality, Mr. Hanif Hussein from the Democratic Alliance, thank you for joining us. And you are the DA's mayoral candidate for Ethekwini in 2026.
Mayor in waiting, right?
Angazi Baba. Angazi Baba. Okay, this is your moment to tell us why uti wena you are the mayor in waiting.
I tell you what, it's not just about me as an individual, it's about the organization that I represent. And Pumi, let's be honest about it. Over the last 30 years, I think that South Africans had a sense of hope that our country is going to get much better than what it is. And election after election, people put their faith in politicians and political parties to change their lives for better. But in reality, look where it has brought us. After 30 years, you have municipalities in South Africa, 257 of them, only 16% of that is actually performing well. Of that 16%, the majority of them are DA-run municipalities. And so in this election, we now have an opportunity to make that 257 municipalities perform just as well as that 16%. But it's going to be up to the voters to actually bring that change. And in this election, we're asking South Africans, put your faith behind organizations that have a track record of delivery. That's what you do in your daily life. That's what you do in your business life. Local government is not just about politics. It's about delivery on the ground where it matters. If you want to open your tap and you want water to come out, the DA is the party that you want to support.
Well then, speaking of track records and parties with track records, another fairly new entrant joining us closest to me, Mr. Tshepo Mhlongo of Build One South Africa. You're the provincial leader. And I say another new entrant because this is the second local government election that Build One South Africa is coming into the ballot for many South Africans. It's morphed a little bit from bringing a group of independents in 2021 when you started, who were contesting under the same banner. And now you are a single party, and you are a party that's part of a three-party system, I think. Yes? Got that right? And you're the provincial leader. So, Mr. Tshepo Mhlongo, former Member of Parliament and a former councillor in Johannesburg, Build One South Africa, what makes you different and why should people be voting for you?
Yeah. I think an offer is we believe on Batupile principle. We believe in community-driven initiative. We believe of Ubuntu, whereby we know that it's not an up-down approach, it's bottom-up approach, whereby consultation is so important. And we believe that we must take local government election as basic rights for individuals in different communities, whereby they speak of water, they speak of electricity. It's their daily routine life. Without that, you can't survive. Now, let's, as Bosa, we believe that we must bring new faces, new leadership, ethical leadership, not people who've been there who are arrogant, knowing the system. We need new professionals whereby they'll understand exactly what is happening and we're moving in building one South Africa.
So what's really fascinating is all of you have said a version of the same thing. All of you have said a version of the same thing. And this is local government elections is where, for many of us, really the rubber hits the road of what governance looks like, what governing looks like, what service delivery looks like. So of course you are all going to say the same thing. After the last election, where we've seen a big shift towards a government of national unity, as it were, which means a coalition of some sort. And any one of you can take this question and let's see how it goes from there. But obviously, going into this next local election, there are going to be forms of haggling, definitely coalitions. What do you think we can learn from some of the failings and some of the wins at national level that can make a difference at local level, in your view?
I think it's better
I'll
now.
I'll come to you.
Okay. It's better as we start now. As a Bosa, we believe on having this new vehicle, Unite for Change. You start now, not after election. Now we believe that Rise, Mzansi, Bosa, Good, other vehicle that will make sure that we start now, arrange with our principal values for us to fight the election with this vehicle. And not after election, because after election, the old guards, the old parties, they fight for position, they're self-centered, and there's no Ubuntu, there's no serving the people. Is this, I want this, I must deploy this, I must take this budget, it's all for me, these positions are all for me. Now we, as United for Change, we believe in ethical leadership from the community. Community must identify their leaders, not the party part, whereby they'll say, you from Pinville, come to Orlando and represent Orlando. That is uncalled for. We believe we need something new that will change South Africa.
So you're on the ground trying to get people to participate. Cassidy, you wanted to say?
I think coalitions are the future, definitely. After 2026, my party, we are excited because we know we will be represented in several coalitions in the Western Cape, Gauteng, and so forth. However, there needs to be a mechanism in place prior to the election, not a moonshot pact, but prior to the election, where parties cancel, where we don't have problems like we've been seeing post the election. There's a party in the city of Johannesburg that wanted one of our MMC positions, for example, but because of the principle that we entered the coalition into, we were able to retain our seat. So there needs to be not only ethical leadership, but there needs to be agreements, proper agreements in place prior to the elections with various parties so that we can then not have unstable governments as we have now.
So you're going into the local with a different coalition partner or the same?
Any coalition partner is to serve the people.
Okay.
So if this party serves that purpose, in Matsikama, for example, there's a PA mayor, a EFF deputy mayor, and an ANC speaker. You don't hear any problems there. But there are, of course, certain parties that make it difficult to work with them. Yeah.
I think when you talk of coalition, it should not be about positions. Coalition should be about programs that are meant to serve the people on the ground. When parties come together, they should not be negotiating on positions, but they should be negotiating based on what they had even in their manifestos to say these are the programs that we want to run. So give us this particular portfolio so that we are able to run or to deliver to the people what we had promised. And again, when you're talking of coalition, we should understand the mandate from the people, because the mandate from the people is saying you need to work together. If you cannot work together, you cannot build this government. So that is the mandate that our people are giving us.
I think for me the reality is, given the experience that we've had in South Africa with coalitions across the country, I've yet to come across a single South African who actually has any confidence in coalitions. Simply because most of these coalitions have been so unstable. Just here in this city, you can wake up on a Monday and you have a mayor. On a Friday, you have a completely different mayor. And that instability is what has slowed down the progress. Part of the reason why that happens is because the smaller political parties actually use their one-seat majority as a means to bargain for positions and for benefits for themselves. I've yet to see a coalition partner says, I'll join this coalition on condition you provide 1,000 jobs or 10,000 jobs in 1 year or else we are out. Instead, the bargaining is about what can we get. My colleague talks about the position that they wanted to take away from us. I mean, those positions are there for the service of the people, not for the benefit of us as individuals. And we have to move beyond this position of where smaller political parties put up posters, get a seat for one or two people, because they can benefit themselves and have a salary for the next 5 years. If that nonsense doesn't stop, South Africa is not going to move in the right direction. And that's why South Africans need to look at the history of what has happened with coalitions in South Africa, choose a political party that can actually make a genuine difference. And if you give that political party the full power to rule and govern that city, you'll be able to see the change that happens in 5 years very, very quickly.
I think what gives us coalition is not the parties, it's the people, it's democracy. We cannot look for stifle democracy and say, no, it should be certain people that get this position. That would be incorrect, because it is the people that go and vote. They are exercising their right to vote. Ours is to educate the people to go and vote in their numbers, because one of the reasons why we have this coalition is because of the low voter turnout, which is a problem. And also, it's the mindset of the very same political parties that we understand them to be the big people, the big parties, if I can, or the majority parties, if you can put it that way, where even if they've not won these elections, but they behave as if they've won these elections. Because in a coalition, if you've not won the elections, it therefore means whatever you need to do, you must engage. It forces you to engage. And when you know that you've got other parties, you are held to account, unlike when it's only one party, because if it's only one party, this one party will do as they please.
Well, you raise two things, right? So low voter turnout. Is low voter turnout not in the essence, the people saying, I actually have no confidence in all of you anyway. That's why I'd rather not go and vote, because I have nobody to give my vote for.
Somehow that might be true, because remember, the fact that people do not go and vote, it also means we need to educate them. Because what they are saying is that we do not want the party that is in power. Because remember, it's this one party that will be in power. And they're saying, we do not want, because we're not happy with what you are giving us. So we want to vote you out. Instead of them going to vote and change their votes, they stay away, which is a problem.
But you were talking about the fact that you're saying the communities must elect the people that they want. At local government election, you are voting for a councillor, you are voting for a person in your neighborhood, you are voting for somebody you know, or at times you're voting for somebody who's being imposed from you in big parties. They can do that, right? Is this not a failing that says there are not enough people that we know that we're putting in this place, therefore, as in Funinonke?
Yeah, I think my view is why there's apathy is because we don't involve in our future leaders. Young people are not recognized. And my view is, as Build One South Africa, we must develop our future leaders, whereby we don't want someone who's a pensioner coming and standing in a ward or to become a mayor. We need young people to come and represent the future of our country. And one of the things that I want to tell you, Guti, you know, you can't think of the future while you want to be self-centered. You can't build Johannesburg while you are selfish. You must have passion to serve, servanthood, and all in all, if you have that, you don't want to be a councillor because you want to get a paycheck at the end of the month. Now, I think because I'm talking from experience, I've been a councillor because I wanted to serve. I don't want to be a councillor because I want to get a paycheck after the month. Now, the problem in South Africa, we have leaders who want to own the community. They don't understand that is servants of the community.
Coalitions exist because no one party had won in that particular municipality or city. Then you find certain parties that act as bullies. We saw it in the city of Johannesburg, where a party wanted to enter into a coalition, but then did not want to give any positions. Now, I mentioned positions again, because the only way you can effect change for your constituency is by having a position of power. We had, in the city of Johannesburg, we had roads and transport, and we had human settlements. My party gave human settlement to the IFP in order to strengthen the coalition and to bring the IFP into the coalition. But you cannot work with parties who have a bus cup mentality where you need to be subservient under them, but they themselves did not win an election as well. So that's what coalition partners, particularly the bigger parties, as they refer to themselves, needs to get through their heads. That the 50 plus one of that electorate did not vote for you. So you cannot be a bully.
And it's very important that we understand that when we are in these positions, we're in these positions to serve the people. It's not the other way around. And serving the people is very key, because the very same people, when they vote for us, they are asking us to serve them. They are putting us there so that we are able to prioritize them. And that I come from a party where we don't call ourselves comrades, but we call ourselves servants. And the reason why I'm mentioning that is because we understand that we exist solely to serve the people. There's a difference between a servant and a comrade. A comrade is someone who is willing to lay his life in defense of another comrade, regardless of what that comrade has done. But a servant is someone who is willing to lay his life down in defense of the people.
I think, may I just say that given the state of the ANC in our country, nobody wants to be called comrade any longer. It's actually an insult, and so nobody wants to. But here's the thing for me. In reality, it's not. I don't believe my colleague here when he says that the bigger parties are bullies. Right now, in KZN, we have a situation in the KwaZulu-Natal legislature where a single-seat political party that holds the balance of power is now threatening to collapse the entire government. And what's that about? And so when you have the smaller political parties who are trying to bargain for positions for their own personal benefit, it's that thing that causes people to actually lose hope in our politics. South Africans have not given up hope in our democracy. They've given up hope in our politicians. And that's why they stay behind. Because for 30 years, we've kept electing people who have been corrupt, who built beautiful mansions for themselves, drive the best cars, live the best lives, whilst the majority of people are actually living in absolute poverty. And so it can't be for 30 years we keep doing the same thing and expect the same, you're going to get the same results. And that's why this time around there's an opportunity for South Africans to say, surely we've had enough of what's going on in our country. Surely we cannot continue in this direction. And unless you're going to effect real meaningful change and put your faith behind people who actually have a track record of delivery, you're going to end up with the same nonsense for another 5 years. And if you leave your city in the hands of these governments for 5 years, another 5 years, you're probably going to have to leave the city forever. And that's the condition that we find ourselves in a
table. Leave the city for where? Yeah. I want to say something about.
You know, I think what I think that we really need to do is to professionalize that space. It cannot just be business as usual. You know, in a professional environment, there are KPIs and there are consequence management if things did not happen. It cannot be that in government, you know, I'll give you an example of the city of Johannesburg. It's a city that has got 10 departments and 13 entities. And those 13 entities have got boards. It cannot be correct that you have a board member who is a toll gate operator. How are you expecting that person to actually engage positively in that space? So we need to depoliticize some of these appointments, because that is where some of the problems we have are coming from that.
But that's even at an appointment level, and you say that, and I wanted to call this up because when we were getting ready for this particular recording, Times Live yesterday was quoting a COCTA skills audit from 2023. Skills audit reveals 300 KZN councillors are illiterate. And one of the things, you know, and just raising questions of how to manage multi-million rand budgets and projects. So then I will turn this back onto you to say, what is it about the four of you are in a position where you can say, these are the people that we are putting up. So what is your minimum standards? Who are the people that you are putting up? What are the minimum standards for those people in your parties?
CADA deployment, for the past 30 odd years, we have seen CADA deployment is, of course, a huge problem. I work at a municipality, for example. You'll find that at the municipality, you will find an executive director that happens to be in the regional committee of the African National Congress. And on that basis, this person was then employed as an example, a municipal manager. There is a cadership mentality that we really need to let go of. I'm of the strong belief that the municipal manager should definitely be depoliticized. This person, when they get to their third year of their contract, their fourth year of their contract, they become nervous because my term is coming to an end. This is when shenanigans start to happen. Municipalities are so riddled with cadres that are literally just deployed, but then they are unable to do the job efficiently. The Ministry of Sport, Arts and Culture,
before you finish that, I think the five of us here and this COCTA audit are in violent agreement.
Yeah.
I am asking you, one by one, to say your party, what is the minimum skill level that of the people that you are putting in front of us?
Let's use the Ministry of Sport, Arts and Culture, for example, the one ministry that my party has. A minister has about 8 to 12 people that he or she can bring into their office. Each and every one of the people in the Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture's office that works for him have appropriate qualifications. There are other ministers from other parties that wrote and asked for a deviation because they wanted to bring in chiefs of staff that are not appropriately qualified. They wanted to bring in up to 4 staff members, asked for a deviation from this. So my party, we are doing what is right. We are putting qualified people in positions to effect change. Other parties, they want to insist on CADA deployment just with another name. For example, you had a mayor in Tswane.
You and still then there haven't was a answered body my question, so I'm going to give you a moment to think about your question. The answer, I'm saying to you, local government elections are coming up. You are fielding people across the board. I'm asking you, one by one, your minimum requirement for the people that you are fielding. Think about that and we'll come back. I'm not going to let you go because your minister, unfortunately, does not have the qualification, even though the people in his ministry do. And you raised him, so let's start.
I think we need a mixed badge. When I'm saying mixed badge, you need experience, you need education. You can't say you need education only. You need even an experience. You need activism. Because you'll see someone, he's a doctor, he's a mayor, but he doesn't know exactly Ubuntu. He doesn't know exactly what is activism. And I'm saying we need a mixed badge whereby qualification, experience, and servanthood. And if you have that, imagine in council, there's big agendas, you must know what is debit and credit. You must know the basic. You must know how to present your speech. You must know how to read the minutes. Now, if you don't have those basic, why do you want to serve?
So Tsepo, those three or any one of the three will do for you. Is that what you're saying?
All of them will do for me.
Okay.
All of the above.
I think, Pumi, part of the reason why, and I mentioned earlier that there were 16% of the municipalities that performed well, and the majority of them were DA-run municipalities. The reason why we find ourselves in that position is because the DAs always put people who are fit for purpose, who can get the job done, who have the experience, put the interests of the people first. Even Cyril Ramaphosa agrees that DA-run municipality. And so one of the few times that he tells the truth, actually. So this is not something new to us. And wherever we have put in candidates, wherever we have employed people in municipalities, we employ the best people for the job to make sure that we get the job done. We don't employ crooks. We don't put people in power that actually steal people's money. On the other hand, that's what you found with the ANC over the last 30 years. So this is something we've been doing for a hell of a long time that the other political parties still have to learn about. But they'll get there.
Well, I think there are people in the city of Cape Town that would beg to differ about
I'm sure there will be people who will differ. I'm sure.
No, I'm talking about your particular
Let's talk about it. We don't expect everybody to agree with us. But what we certainly will do is to put the facts and the evidence on the table. It's up to them whether they want to accept it or not. Some politicians and some people will refuse to accept the facts. The reality is in the city of Cape Town, the largest portions of the budget have actually been to uplift the poor. That's why we have public transport running into the townships. In Etegweni, for example, you have a bus system that they've spent billions of rands, is still standing still. Who's supposed to benefit out of that? In the city I come from, we have the highest number of informal settlements, 600 of them. Hundreds and thousands of families who are living in informal settlements, where is their dignity? And the government that we had in place there was an ANC government over the last 30 years. Those are the questions you should be asking that government. But when you actually look at the city of Cape Town, just recently, yesterday, they produced a housing project for 140 million rand, which is one of the best projects in the country. A few days ago, I went and visited a site in Etegweni where they've already spent 60 million rand and not a single house was built. 60 million rand. A matter that we're bringing to the public protector for attention. So that's the harsh reality of what's going on in South Africa. A city run by the DA in the Western Cape, brilliant housing project, put the money to work. A city run by the ANC in Etegweni, 60 million rand spent, not a single house actually developed. That's the choice that voters have in this election. We can go on for the next 5 years, you can end up with the same results, or you can put a DA government here in Gauteng, put Helen in charge, all of you. Vote for Helen, she'll fix this place.
Before you differ with
you
her,
all right, you guys can fight, I'll just stop.
Okay.
Give me a second, hold on. Calm down. Before you differ with Haseen,
Hanif.
I'm going to, sorry, Hanif Hussein, that's what I'm thinking about.
That's fine.
But before, I'm going to put you in the same box as I put Cassidy. I asked for what your party is considering as the minimum gates for the candidates that you are putting in front of the people. Tsepo did a very good job of telling us his three gates. Yeah. So I'm going to put you in the box. And unless you have it right,
I'm
going to move on. Okay.
I have it ready. I apologize. I should have covered that. Actually, we have a screening panel that every single candidate that gets selected has to go through a screening process. Number one, they must not have a criminal charge. We don't put crooks in parliament. We put them in jail. We put genuine people in government. So we run a proper screening process to make sure they have the proper qualifications as they claim that they have, that they must not have a criminal record, they must have at least some level of experience or the ability to be able to do the job. So we run very tight processes that actually run sometimes over across more than a year now, that we're still running our selection panel process. So we look at every single candidate to the best of our ability to make sure that we find the very best people who are fit for purpose to do the job.
We're going to talk about that in a second. ATM doesn't have minimum requirements for its councillors.
Okay. You see, when it comes to councillors and when it comes to administrators, it's got to be treated differently. Administrators, it's got to be based on qualifications and nothing else. But when it comes to councillors, you've got to have a mix. For an example, a ward councillor can be someone who's got a grade 12, but who is active in the community, who is loved by the community, who is able to work with the community. Remember, this person's job is to represent the community in council. So whatever is bringing into council is what is coming from the community. But you also have the PR councillors. That is where it gets important now. That's where you must then have that qualifications, skills, experience. That is where it's important in our part. But in terms of the ward councillors, no, it should be someone that is loved by the people, that is active on the ground. That is why the people vote for that person. So it does not really become our choice. It's the people's choice. But on PR, it's the party's choice. That is why, therefore, the party will need to say, okay, this person, why do we want to put this person in there? They will have to interview him, also do screening on this person.
Okay. Cassidy, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, what's your answer?
Horontu. We have been having a campaign where you need to be on the ground. And any councillor that we've ever chosen is somebody that is known to the residents of the area. That's why in Ward 82 we won, because they were known to the residents of the area. Ward 92 we won, and so on and so forth.
So you don't parachute people into positions?
No. It would be... also have the appropriate skills, knowledge, attitude and values of the political party, which is the PA in this instance. So we want somebody that's on the ground where the community can walk past and say, oh no, this is our councillor. Where we are not allowed, if you're a public official of the party, your WhatsApp is not allowed to not have the blue check mark. Because people must be able to know that when I've sent Cassidy a message, Cassidy is going to respond to me, he saw my message, and so on. So having people that are rooted in the ground, Horontu.
Okay. Yeah. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, there's no perfect system. And you've been telling us about Cape Town. Luckily, I've been a member of the DA. And I understand why he's trying to protect the party, which is go to Khayelitsha. Basical.
You know what I'm going to do? And I did say that I don't want this conversation to become a defense platform. So you've had an opportunity to put your thoughts across, and so has Mr. Hussein, right? So. And because we don't have a representative from the city of Cape Town here today, I'm then not going to want to go into the specifics of particular areas and particular individuals. And, you know, so I really do, because I think we run the risk of falling down a rabbit hole that there is nobody at this panel that can speak quite authoritatively.
But my point is all municipality, all metros have informal settlement. And I can tell you there's no master of all. Cape Town, Durban, you name Johannesburg, I've been a councillor here. Last time I checked, it was 180 informal settlement in Johannesburg. There are more. Now, it shows that there's no clean system. And I can tell you that what do we need in South Africa? We need expertise. We need people that will guide. You know, imagine in Johannesburg, if The last time I was a councillor, they had only 180 informal settlement. Today, there are 200 and more informal settlement. Now, it shows that there's no mechanism to monitor, to prevent a mushrooming of informal settlement. Now, I'm saying to South African, let's have leaders that will be accountable to you. Let's have leaders that will be able to come to you, consult, and able to serve you.
Okay, I think that is a great place to segue to allowing our audience, who've been fantastic, and I think quite deeply engaged. If anybody, there is a microphone roaming around, so if you just indicate and Sia will come to you. I want to say this about the microphone. The microphone, guys, is for the recording. We can hear you perfectly all right. You're not going to hear feedback of yourself on the mic. So the microphone is for the recording. We can hear you perfectly in the room. So just hold it close to your mouth and talk normally.
Do I stand? Do I stand?
We'd like you to stand so we can see you.
Okay, cool. I'm Bakabandu. I used to work for Rina here. This is home. I'm going to hit as best as I could. Khrontu. Did I get that right? Right? Where's Khrontu Kakeni Kunen? He was a sushi king. Is that Khrontu? Let's go. Mr. Bosa, I loved your kambi, your party. I fought with this lady so much. I was like, Bosa is taking the people that are actually on the ground and making them work in our electoral system. The people that are already doing the work, let's empower them. I love that. You guys betrayed that. You guys just went into a marriage with Patricia DeLille. She's jumped how many times? That's a betrayal. Sir, tried and tested. DA works wonderful, right? Tried and tested. That was your thing. You guys talk about experience. I'll give you Chris Pappas. In your neck of the woods, Chris Pappas ran Umgate. No experience, no anything, except he was Khrontu. He was a man of the people. Came back from school, he's like, let me fix my town. So tried an experience. No, even your own party doesn't do it. That guy revolutionized Mgen. He's brilliant, but you want to do old people and tried and tested. Well, Chris Pappas was not tried and tested. The people voted for him, and he did the job.
Bakabantu? Last moment, 30 seconds. Is that your thing? Okay. Do you
Can
want
I respond?
To? Okay. So I'm going to do this because there are three responses. I'm going to start with you, Tsepo, and then I'm going to move to you, Hanif, and then I'm going to move to you, Cassidy, while we get to the next person.
Yeah. You know, you don't understand politics of South Africa. We are saying we're working together. We're working. She's experienced, Patricia DeLille. We're working with Guy Mzansi, businessman. We're working with Dr. Maimane. In South Africa, we need us to work together. We can't build South Africa working silo. No man is an island. Now we need each other for us to build South Africa. And I don't really understand when you say we are sellouts, so to say. I'm still on the ground. I'm still a member of Build One South Africa. We all, honestly, activism is so important. Education is so important. Experience is so important. You can't do it without. Now I'm saying to you, give us a chance. Yes, maybe there's something that you see that I'm not aware of. Let's talk offline and then address it because I'm not aware what you're talking about, honestly enough.
So thank you for acknowledging about Chris Pappas, that he is really, truly a brilliant mayor. I wonder if any one of you could actually name another brilliant mayor from another political party. And herein lies the problem. Chris Pappas didn't go into that municipality on his own. He had the full support of the Democratic Alliance to apply a certain level of principles to make sure that the city works. And every single cent that is earned from the municipality is put to work for the people in that municipality. And that's why he turned that municipality around from one of the worst performing municipalities in KZN. It was the most dysfunctional municipality when he took over. In 5 years' time, the best performing municipality in KZN is Umgeni Municipality. So it's not just about Chris. I said in my introduction, it's not just about me. It's about the principles that we apply into government. We don't steal money. We invest it where we can get the best return. We put the best people in the job, and we fire incompetent officials. We don't upgrade them to parliament.
Lubabalo, you missed it. You dodged a bullet. You dodged a bullet there. I don't know what that means, but okay. Cassidy.
It's a vote of confidence.
Papa Action, the former Sushi King, and I like how you said he was a Sushi King. In the several instances where Kenny Kunene has been the acting mayor of the city of Johannesburg, we have seen in 2-3 days a week the difference that it is that he has made. Both leaders of my party, they don't like bureaucracy. That's why when Gaetan McKenzie was the district mayor, he eradicated. Another party was there, but he eradicated the pit toilet system. Action. Action. Grondtoe. Kenny is on the grond all the time. He drives himself. Even that's how on the grond he is. So, salute. Salute.
Yeah, sorry. I think, so this is for the whole panel. In terms of just the amount of parties that we have on the ballot, it's just confusing for normal lay people in South Africa. So how do you envisage this happening? Is there a consolidation in the industry that's going to happen? Because clearly this GNU is not working. Or it's now beginning to work slowly. But South Africans can't wait for this GNU to fail. And every failure takes us 2 steps behind. So where are you seeing yourselves as consolidated party players in the sector going forward? And how can South Africans trust the parties that they're voting for?
I think the GNU is working. The GNU is definitely working. There's this competition that South Africans have needed where political parties and ministries are trying to compete against each other to show that, look at what my party can do if we were ever to be in government. And that's where coalitions come in. So there's certain parties who are able to work together wonderfully in coalitions, but then there are other parties that it's just extremely difficult because of their nature to work with them as well.
Yeah. I think it's a model that we have as a Build One South Africa, that you start now before election, that you're working together, understand the philosophy and the idea exactly, what do you want? And then when we start now, not only after election, because after election it's an issue of position among us, self-conniving, cater deployment. For us, when we start now, we strategize for us, South Africa, to know about us. And I think I can give it to you. This will be our first time standing as Unite for Change. We need change in South Africa, and we need ethical leadership. We need young people to be involved in politics. We need leaders that are ethical, that are not self-centered, but within the community, for the community.
Anything else, gentlemen, or shall I take another question?
I think that where South Africa is at the moment is in between where we come from and where we're actually going to be in a few years from now. And, of course, coalitions is going to become more and more prevalent. I think we're going to see it in this local government election, many other small municipalities as well. But as far as the GNU is concerned, and I think it is definitely a step in the right direction, because what you got is more and more South Africans actually starting to take an interest in the hope for the future of what's actually going to come. We used to have a one-party dominant state for many, many years, and look where that brought us. High levels of corruption, complete destruction of many municipalities, parts of the country, people steal left, right and centre, no accountability whatsoever. So gradually I think South Africans and our democracy is actually maturing to the extent that more and more people are holding their politicians accountable for their performance. And I think we're going to start seeing it more in this election, where people are actually going to start actually voting based on what you're capable of doing.
You know, ATM is a party that was not formed out of anger. It's a party that was not formed by people that broke away from another party. As a result, we understand the importance of working together. We are a party that is willing to work with whoever for as long as it's going to be for the benefit of the people. Because it cannot be that after so many years, after more than 30 years, our people are still crying about the basic service delivery needs. And we are saying, even when I was MMC here in Johannesburg, I would go even to DA wards. You know, I remember the current DA leader in Johannesburg when she said, you know, I don't believe that we are actually in my ward. And I said to her, service delivery knows no political affiliation, it knows no color, even if people have not voted for your party. The fact that you are in government, you are there to serve those people. Time for elections will come. where we contest each other. But when we're talking of service delivery, we've got to work together to make sure that we service the people, because that is what the people want. People do not really care. The bottom line is that people do not really care who is in power. What the people want is service delivery. Whether it's a donkey or a cat that is there, the only reason they would go for a certain party is to say, you know what, we've lost hope in this one. Let us try this one. But if we are able to work together, especially when we are in government, because I think that is where we miss it. Whether we are in the opposition or you are in the governing party, if you understand that you are there and in that council, you are supposed to serve everyone, whether black or white or Indian or green, whatever the color it is, you must serve those people. That is what is key. Then when it's time for elections, we'll go and contest each other.
There's a question here.
Yeah, thanks. Good evening. My name is Martha Ngoye. I think for me, listen, I've lost faith. And that's what it is. Because you come here, you talk about professionals. I'm a professional and I'm sitting at home for 5 years getting paid because nobody wants me in a state-owned environment. Why? Because I dared to tell the truth, right? Now, you sit here, you say all these fancy things. None of you have also even spoken about what it is that you're going to do when somebody comes to you and say, Mr. Gayton McKenzie has done X, right? Whistles, blows the whistle. On your own leaders, what are you going to do? Because what we're seeing now is that people are getting eliminated. So I'd like to ask all of you what your views are around this whole issue of having whistleblowers being eliminated, because those are truth tellers, right? Those are the people that go out and say, this particular person is doing wrong, and therefore some action must be taken. But instead of action being taken about against that particular person that is doing wrong, they are the ones that suffer. Can I understand what the party's positions are around that specific issue? Because that one is very close to my heart. Because professionals are not wanted, guys. You want people who are pliable, because that's how you then sell yourselves to us to say, we want professionals. I don't buy it.
Yeah. I think I'll be personal with this, especially I'm a whistleblower too. I think the gentleman was a councillor in the city of Joburg when I exposed ANC councillor that he's selling land. And I was chased away from council. At that time, the party stood with me because I was exposing corruption. Worst of all, within the party that I'm from, I exposed the leadership that is corrupt. And I was even chased away from the DA. Now I'm saying I'm a living testimony to say let's fight corruption. And I believe that we must protect whistleblowers. And I believe that without you exposing corruption, South Africa won't be a successful country. Now we need each other, we need to work together, we need to protect our whistleblowers.
You know, ATM is a values-driven political party. And one of our values, we've got five values: peace, ubuntu, transformation, servanthood leadership, and also accountability. We believe in accountability. So, if someone does wrong, even if that person is in my party, we must deal with that person. It does not matter how high the person is in terms of the hierarchy of the party. It's about the people, because we are not there to serve ourselves. We are there to serve the people. If we do things that the people do not want, then the party must deal with us. Same as in government. When you are in government and something wrong has happened, we must investigate. Protect the whistleblower and at the same time investigate, because you can't just let it go. Sometimes it's an anonymous message. Even though it's anonymous, you must still try and investigate, so that you try and get to the bottom of whatever the problem is.
The leader of my party rose to prominence because he was a whistleblower, exposed rot and corruption that happened in jail. The deputy president of my party, there was allegations. Immediately he was suspended. You need to have internal processes in your party to make sure that potential whistleblowers are protected and that problems are, you are able to get rid of them easily. We had a ward councillor in Kimberley. He was fired because he was useless, incompetent. We didn't mind a by-election even though it was our ward, but you are not going to sit here with incompetence. So I have systems in place within the party that deployed the people to make sure that if there's a whistleblower that either from inside of the party or from externally, that there's mechanisms in place to deal with it there and then, as the PA has done on several occasions.
And the other thing that my sister was saying is that she's a professional and no one wants her. You see, the problem that we are sitting with, it's what I was referring to when I was talking, I was making reference to the boards. The reason why people do not want professionals is because professionals are able to apply their minds to say, no, this cannot be done. It's not supposed to be done like this. What we are doing is not according to the law. Now, people want people that will just do whatever that needs to be done. That is why you then experience, where there's irregular expenditures, where UIFWEs are skyrocketing. It's precisely because of that. Even with board appointments, the reason why they would take people, we're having water crisis, but you find that in a board that deals with water, it's someone who's working at Pick and Pay, as an example. You do not have engineers, people that would understand what the problem is. You've got people, just laymen, that do not understand. So they are not appointed based on their skills and qualification. And that is what needs to change. Because the moment you change that, even in the entities, when you've got board members that understand what needs to be done, they are able to then hold those MDs and CEO to account. Now you have a situation where the CEO or the MD does whatever he wants to do, and there's a stack of documents that you must read. And this person does not read this. He's just there to vote.
Hanif, I'll let you, and then I'm just going to check if have we got two more questions. So Hanif, let's go with you.
Two
questions at the back.
Thank you.
But one each, yeah?
I'm sorry to hear about yourself. Is it Martha? Did I get the name right? I really am sorry to hear. I don't know what the circumstances are, but you speak obviously with a sense of passion and experience. If there's something I could do to help, I'd love to chat with you afterwards. But I do think it's fascinating that we're having...
Can I just stop you there for a second? Someone's phone's ringing and they can pick it up on the sound. Got it off now?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I think it's fascinating that we're having a conversation about whistleblowers when we should be actually having a conversation about corruption, because that is actually the cause of the situation we find ourselves in. And that corruption in our country has become so endemic, it's become a culture across every single government department. I don't have to tell you about what's going on in our country. We see it every single day. And so we're having a conversation about whistleblowers because of so much of corruption in our country. And so if we want to fix that problem, we actually have to deal with the issue of corruption. And part of the reason why we got so much of corruption is because of cadre deployment and the employment of people, not because of what they're capable of doing, but because of the political connections that they had. And because of those political connections, it's difficult to get rid of those people. If we don't clean the system up, we're going to have this conversation about whistleblowers for the rest of our lives. And we have one opportunity this time around to actually change it. And that's why I'm asking you and I appeal to people like you, Martha, not to give up hope and don't lose faith. Because there's many other whistleblowers who didn't have the courage that you had. And we can save it for them if you stand up and do something about it.
Yeah. Good evening, Bafana Mutise. I'm also a member of the family here. But I think you said something about voter turnout, and you have seen this over the years. And I think it's because political parties have been built around characters, they've been built around egos, and not necessarily about the people. If you can look at every famous politician just walks out of a party and opens a new party, it's never about the people. And right now, people feel as if these coalitions, they actually silence opposition. A couple of years ago, we had something called Save SA marches. We used to have court cases against Zuma. Today the DA is silent. The Mandlanga Commission is happening. Even other political parties, they are silent. Yet you can see all the corruption taking place across the country. Just this morning there was a retreat of the GNU. How do you go to a retreat where youth of this country are unemployed, while people are still starving, while there's no housing? We are not issue-based. Our parties lately have become more about themselves, what they get, and people are just got tired of feeding into your schemes. The DA, as they said, they claim to be clean, but Cape Town recently had a billion rand scandal that had happened in Cape Town. Actually, Bosa, we believe that you're going to get something. However, with your relationship lately with Unite for Change and all these other parties, you didn't win election, three of you, none of you managed to do better. So what actually inspired this coalition? Is it because of maybe you failed before because of lack of leadership? You failed because of your messaging? Because all of you had a lot of money, according to reports, but you didn't really make it to a point. And Patrick, last one.
Can I just... You've asked so many things, so I just want to be clear.
Okay.
Because you made lots of statements. I just want to be clear. Your question is for Bosa about their relationship as they go into...
In the Unite for Change. What inspired for Change. It?
Yes. Okay. That's your question.
That's a question. And the whole idea of coalition, does it not silence opposition along the way? Because then the parties become about protecting themselves and they're no longer issue-based orientated. And Patriotic Alliance, to this day... hold it here.
But so, we forgot. That's the problem. When
okay,
you say
no, I think
so
there's
long.
Too many questions.
Yes. Okay, coalition. So we're going to go with the question about coalitions.
Yes, and how does it silence opposition?
Okay.
And then D and your arrangement, the other side.
Okay.
Let me, maybe, I think let's Rise Mzansi, good and build one South Africa. It's not a coalition. We're going to have a vehicle. It's a vehicle towards 2026. It's not a moonshot. It's a vehicle whereby we're working together. And I think maybe we need to workshop, have this conversation now and then for you to understand exactly what is this. This is not a moonshot pen, or it's not whatever that you think of GNU. This is... We can't do it alone. We need each other in South Africa. We even today, I can even announce that any other political party must come in now before 2026 for us to work together. It's all about working together for betterment of South Africa. It's not about we disappointed you. A leader can disappoint you, but a servant won't. Now, Bafana, what you are saying, let's offline it. I don't understand how did Build One South Africa disappointed you. I don't want to thumbsuck your mind because you didn't tell us. But give us a chance. Vote for us next year, and then if we don't service you, remove us from the office. Just give us a chance. There's hope in South Africa. Let's build one South Africa.
Anyone can take the question about the coalition. You're not in a coalition, okay. So you can't answer.
No.
No, I want to. I am.
I can't answer on coalition, but I wanted to actually respond on the issue of the voter turnout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the issue of a low voter turnout is not something that we should lament about. It's actually a call for action. It's saying people should be engaged more. It means people on the ground are not actively being engaged. That is why even when we have your sessions like your ITP, where municipalities will be providing buses, but you find that those buses are empty. You go to a hall where there's many wards that are supposed to be participating there, but it's just only a handful of people because they do not understand. They are not thoroughly engaged in terms of what is happening. You see, we need to understand as political parties, or as people that are in government, that at times it is not that we have solutions, but the people on the ground actually are the ones that have got solutions to their problems. but they just do not have the platform or the resources to solve their problems. And we need to therefore engage them, give them that platform so that they are able to say, no, this is how we think these things should be done. And in that way, we'll be able to build confidence in the people, build confidence in the voters, so that they say, no, you know what, these people that are in government actually are interested in serving us. That is what we need.
Okay, I'm going to take the last question. Okay, yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
One short question, please, Baba.
Thank you. So, Pumi, you said you do not want this to be a boxing match, which is great. My name is Sydney Baloyi. I decided to come here because knowing that this was going to be a conversation about local government elections, I strongly believe that that edition of our elections is not about ideology, or at least it shouldn't be about ideology. Because South Africans, all of them, without exception, all they want is water that runs. All they want is education that can produce graduates who will get employed one day. All they want is healthcare that can serve both the rich and the poor, roads that can allow investors to come into our communities. But sadly, in the 31 years that our country has transitioned into a democracy, that hasn't been happening. I'm not going to go into detail about that because the party that has ruled us for most of that time is not here. But I wanted to address what Lubabalo has just said about the voter apathy, the low voter turnout. Fortunately, I do have some stats. In 1994, when South Africa went into our most famous general elections, we had a population of 40 million people, and 19.7 million of those went to vote. 30 years later, 2024, our population has ballooned to 63 million, but only 16 million of South Africans went to the vote. So that in itself tells you that South Africans by themselves, there is something that they are rejecting. There is a feeling among South Africans, which I would like to give you guys an opportunity to either justify or defend. They see politicians, political parties, as some kind of a syndicate HR setup that just gets people on a revolving door that runs on a 5-year cycle. Because if in 31 years we cannot solve any of these basic things that we keep talking about, but the politicians are getting fatter and fatter, richer and richer, the houses are getting 3 times bigger, something tells me these people who suspect that all you guys are all about is to go in there and eat of the trough, maybe they are not wrong. Can you tell us if it's possible for us to expect better in the next round of the elections?
We are a young nation. And so one of the things that I've found on the ground is that young people are either not registered to vote, have never voted, yet they are eligible in terms of age, have never voted, or are not interested in voting. The ones who vote are the 30s, 40s, because they have an actual interest, and they are not interested. So we need to go back to the bulk of our voters, and that is young people, and convince them through each of our own parties that why it is important for you to vote. In our case, we say we have, it's a generational mission. We're doing it for our children's children. And so that is what we use. It's not for you right now. Do it for your children, so that you can also have a seat at the table. Many communities who vote for my party have never ever had a political seat at the table. So it's to conscientize people, make sure that it is in your interests to vote, and of course to vote for the Patriotic Alliance.
I think we need this engagement in a sense that voters must know their rights, because I think they don't understand why do they have to vote. I think we must educate them that you are the bosses, your voice is so important. Councillors are servant. In other words, there must be that alignment to know exactly who's who in the zoo. But if there's no understanding, that is so important for us, especially even next year, because people are fed up of traditional politics. I think we need new ventures like Unite for Change, whereby we're coming together and with one common goal or value for us to move forward. I'm saying we need more of this for us to engage, to tell, consult, not just a lip service, consult. People must understand the importance of local government, what is System Act, what is their right. They can even do a vote of no confidence in their councillors, their petition that they must be submitted to council. Now, I think our party comes because you don't know exactly why did you vote. Can you remove the same individual that you voted for, which is you have power? Now, we must educate all community members the importance of voting, why have to vote, why you want to. And I'll say to you that they don't withdraw your vote. Sizame, try us. There's hope. And obviously, I know that you are dismayed, but I want to encourage you to let's build one South Africa for all.
I think, Sydney, the point that you make is extremely valid, and it does contribute largely to people giving up hope and losing faith, as Martha had said. And the contributing factors actually has been, exactly as you say, the performance of the politicians. When you have a situation in South Africa where more and more politicians are getting wealthier and people are getting poorer, and the gap between the rich and the poor is widening, surely that must have an impact on the hope that people will want to have. And I want to give you an example in the city that I come from. We spend 36 million rand protecting councillors, but people are not safe to walk on the street. Just 3 weeks ago, or 2 months ago, sorry, the city spent 2 million rand on a Women's Day function to feed the staff. But you have people who are living, homeless people who don't even have a meal. When you have 40 billion rand that's owed to the city that they don't collect, and the water infrastructure has completely collapsed. Those are the examples, very much like here in the city of Johannesburg, where people have asked in a dominant one-party state, what's the point? But there's two things that get people activated, either when they realize they cannot effect change or they can. And I think all of you in the room are going to agree with me when I say that there is a mood in the country at the moment in South Africa where people are starting to realize and wake up that actually change is coming. And I think the figures that you had actually spoke about, you're going to see a massive increase, in my view, in voters getting involved in this election because they can see the reality of change coming here in Johannesburg, here in Durban, where I come from, in KZN, in Nelson Mandela Bay as well. And I just want to let you know this politician's not as fat as the other one. So.
I think what needs to happen to bring back that confidence in terms of the voters, we need to have ward delivery plans that have got timelines with the budget that are understood by the people on the ground. You can't be, you know, when you are ward councillor, the people in the ward must understand that this is a plan for this ward in this particular year. And these are the time frames. And this is the budget that is available. When we have that transparency, you would not have situations where people are toying because of lack of service delivery, because they would be knowing what is it that will be done and what is it that cannot be done. And they'll be able to say, okay, we see you want to do this, but these are our priorities. When you engage with them, they'll say, okay, we don't want toilets, but we want a soccer field because our kids do not have where they can train or play. So it's important that we then get that mandate from the people. It should not be about us deciding what the people want. It should be the people that decide what is it that they want. And we have to look to say, okay, how do we then service these people given the budgetary constraints?
I think that is a wonderful place to end. We did so well when we started. Thank you, everybody, for all your questions. I think the questions were magnificent, except Bafana's even run away. But thank you for joining us, and thank you for engaging with these really difficult, I think, difficult and multi-layered parts of the environment that we're working with. We did so well when we started, right, in that 60, 90-second thing. So I'm going to... No, I'm in the middle there was a wobbly. So I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourselves. And I think, in closing, in 60 seconds, you know, a lot has been said about the people and the constituents and the service and what everybody wants and how it is. But there is also, at local government election, a codependency to national election. Sydney, you spoke about not a local government election not being about ideology, but really being about services. However, it works in both directions. So in your 60 seconds, what role do you see local government and the councillors that are elected in making sure that what the views of the people on the ground are get to the provincial and national level and vice versa? 60 seconds. Can we do it? You want a clarity? So the people on the ground may not be voting just to fix their potholes, but because the national and provincial have such a huge bearing on local government, it's a codependency, those two things, right? So what role does local councillors in the municipality, what role do they have in making sure that that codependency is understood and felt by the constituents, by the people who vote?
I'll go first.
You go first.
So I, you know, one of the things I've learned about local government, and I've been around for about 30 years involved in doing this, and I've seen so many times over and over and over again, political parties get elected, have one or two, three seats in a municipality of 200 seats. And you can do whatever you wish. You cannot effect any change. And that has always been my greatest fear when it comes to local government, because politics and governance is about numbers. And if you're not going to put your faith behind an organization or a political party that has the muscle to be able to effect change, it's actually a wasted vote to a large degree. And I get it that people have a right to vote for other political parties. I don't disrespect that. But you talked about the relationship between local government and national, and therein lies the trick, actually. Is that if you are able to support a political party that has the track record, as I keep saying, who are experts in local government, and bring into your city what we have in other cities where we performed, especially in a city like Itigweni, for example, where we have a GPU at a provincial level, and we have a government, a DA government at a citywide level, we'll be able to form that relationship and be able to build better communities in KZN, in Durban in particular. So it's absolutely critical, I think, in this election that voters realize that it's so important if we want to bring that change that we want to see in our cities. You cannot take chances with people who didn't have any form of track record whatsoever of actually being able to deliver the goods. And that's why we're in the mess that we are in at the moment. And that's why wherever I go, and whenever I have an opportunity to try and educate South Africans to say, just get behind people who can prove to you they've actually done the job, as opposed to people who are promising you that they're going to do a job. And that's going to make the difference.
I think what is important, you know, where there's a will, they always say there's a way. People should understand that they should vote for leaders or parties that are willing to serve them. I'll give an example of what I'm talking about. When I was MMC of Community Development in the city of Johannesburg, I managed to give access to a community, a library, that all parties, for more than 8 years, they failed to give access in Lehigh. For more than 8 years, that library, the community did not have access to that library. And you know the reason why is because they were operating in silos. This one is saying, no, I've done my part, this one is supposed to do his part. So, but because I was able to bring them together, to say, this is about the people. If China was able to build a hospital within a week, you can't tell me you can't fix this problem, because all these problems are problems of the city. And the community, even today, that library is operational. So what I'm getting at is the fact that it's not about all this experience or anything, but it's about the will to serve the people. It's about you understanding that you must do. You know, when you are a servant, you understand that you will not be happy until your master is happy. And your master is the people. It's not the other way around.
I think my parting ways is, when you build, obviously you'll have people that will claim that they have experience. We need each other. When you build a house, you need everything. You don't need only a shovel. You need a cement. You need bricks. Now, what I'm saying to you, it's so important for us to have this local election for people to experience, or for the people to know exactly that we vote for this because we expect him or her to deliver. Now, I'll say to South Africans that irrespective of that old guards, because we are new, you can't vote for us. It's neither here nor there. The issue is, the person that you are going to vote for, is he corrupt? Is he within the community NGOs or CBOs, whereby he understands the environment if he's a ward councillor? And that individual must explain exactly what is IDP. You know, here people that don't understand what is IDP, Integrated Development Plan. Whatever wishes of the community to understand for this entire year, what our plans are, it's a wish list, so to say. Is that wish list approved or not approved? Now I'm saying, when you want to exercise your vote next year, please, Zama, try us. Unite for Change will do better than the old guards. Thank you.
And we end with you, Cassidy. Yes, Ramata Jacobs.
Our councillor candidates are people who come from the community. This is why we win by elections, because it's people that are recognizable. It's not somebody that comes in as a tourist. I'm from Mitchells Plain in the city of Cape Town. Lived there for 29 years of my life. 12 of those wards in Mitchells Plain are run by a particular party. But the lived experience that me and the rest of my family members that are still living in Mitchells Plain have to this day is subpar to what I have in Gauteng. So we need to bring back dignity. We need to bring back councillors that are in touch with the people on the ground, not a councillor that you see as a celebrity. And this is why Khorontu, as our campaign, is to make sure that you know who your councillor is, you vote for the correct councillor, and your councillor, or if we get enough seats in council, so that we can effect Abahambe. Salute.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time. Thank you for your energy and your insights. And I think, more than anything, good luck. I hope that you do hear the comments of the people, not just in the room, but hear what the communities are saying and respond appropriately. And I hope you see the numbers in the polls. Thank you for your time. Thank you. Thank you.